All right, guys. So I alluded to the fact we have a guest preacher today. Okay. We have Reverend Bonnie Polisano. She's here today with her husband, Joe, who I don't see. Oh, there he is. But she doesn't let you sit with her? Yeah, Joe, I understand. My wife doesn't like me to be seen in public with her. She says, Greg, can't you just like hide? It's like, you kind of like drag me down. So if you guys don't know, Bonnie's actually the daughter of the previous pastor of Freehold Assembly. And many times, like father, like daughter, okay, what an example that family might have set, that she heard the call too on her life and answered that call. So when I asked her to tell me something about herself, well, for 17 years, she's been at Freehold Assembly God in full-time ministry and worship. She's their worship pastor. But honestly, and I usually never reveal a woman's age, but this was her decision, because of the type of godly parents she's had, she's been all 43 years of her life in ministry. She has, yeah, absolutely. She has two daughters, Leah and Natalie, 19 and almost 14. I'll pray for you about the almost 14-year-old. We know. Has she stopped crying at all? I mean, they usually just cry nonstop at that age. Yeah. All right. So, what I'd like you to do is a favor for me. Please give Past Reverend Bonnie a very warm Whiting Assembly of God welcome. Sorry.
No, you're good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is amazing. Where's Roberto? Robert?
Robert's back in the corner there.
Okay.
So you don't let him up front.
Sorry, I said Roberto because I'm thinking in Spanish already. And I love that you guys have the Spanish words up there. Is that on purpose? Like that's.
Okay. We have a congregant. He's not here today, but really is mostly fluent in Spanish.
Oh, that's so cool. Because I took Spanish in college, so I was just following. I wasn't even listening to you, Greg. I was just reading the translation up there, practicing, brushing up on my skills a little bit. Robert, you asked a question earlier about are we going to have church next Sunday, and I was thinking in my mind something my piano teacher always used to tell me, Lord willing and the creek don't rise. But praise the Lord. It is such a pleasure and an honor to be here with you all today, and honestly, I have to say, there's some pressure here right now. Pressure. Because I know that you know that you've become aware that Pastor Todd and Stephanie were my former youth pastors, actually my very first youth pastors, my really only youth pastors, and they have poured so much into my life. I could probably stand here for all day and tell you the things that the two of them have poured into my life as a teenager. And the pressure comes now from, Lord, make my time here in this pulpit, make my time here before the people that you have given Pastor Todd and Stephanie to shepherd, make that a time that is worthy of your name, Jesus, and make it a time where it's truly worthy of the investment that the two of them poured into my life. I just want to be worthy of that investment that they put into my life. And so this is an honor and a privilege to be before you today and to minister to you. And that is me up there in the corner, your right, my left, in the Cape May sweatshirt. That is me I was probably about a little older than my youngest daughter and a little younger than my oldest daughter. So Pastor Todd's wonderful face is in the back with his glasses, and he still had hair. And Stephanie is right there, right beside me in the back there. And then on the other side, that is my family. That is my father and my mother on the couch, and myself and my two girls, and my sister with the red hair, because she's a hairdresser, so she has to advertise her profession all the time. And behind us are our husbands. My husband's name is Joe, and my brother-in-law is named Joe. So my dad has two Joes. Bonnie and Aaron and the Joes are coming over for dinner. And my husband moved to the back seat because his natural environment, I am the worship pastor. I have been for 17 years at First Assembly of God. And we met through music. We met through worship. And he does play some worship music. He plays an instrument and he sings. But his true gifting, I want to be careful with my words here. His true gifting, because he's really talented at a lot of things, like a lot of things, but his true gifting is in sound and media. And so that's what he's done at First Assembly of God for the time that I've been there. And so his natural environment is in the back where nobody can see him. And so he'll step out of that sound booth and he'll be wearing his t-shirt and shorts like he is today, because that's his uniform. And it's hard to break somebody out of their, you know, comfort zone. But and yes, it's freezing outside, but you will find my husband in shorts. As long as it's not under 30 degrees, he will be wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And sometimes a coat if it warrants it. But he's just, I love him. And I'm so glad he's with me today. So that is a little bit more about me, enough about me, right? Let's get into God's word today. Our text today is from Psalm 139, 22 and 23 and 24. And I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. You can see it there up on the screen. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Now, I'm sure there's many of you in this room that know this scripture a little differently, that know it probably how I memorized it as a little girl. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Guide me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. The way you learned something is not always wrong. The way you learned something, the way that God's word got grounded in your heart is not always wrong or not always old school or old fashioned or a thing of the past. I just want to encourage you with that. It may not necessarily be a tool for the church of today, for future believers, because they might not yet understand the depth of the things that we have grown up with, or we might know, but they're still valuable, because what God is concerned about primarily, before we can reach the souls around us, before we can minister to one another effectively, we have to make sure that our hearts, our souls, our mind, our heart, our will is completely 100% submitted to Him. And if we have not allowed the Lord to do some kind of work on our hearts yet, and you might be sitting there and thinking, oh, please, if I could sit and tell you how much work God has done on my heart, I have a mansion inside here. I'm good. I'm done. There's always renovations that he might want to do. There's always upkeep. Think about your homes. Think about where you live. As soon as you paint that wall, you turn around and it's like there's scuff marks on it again. Right? There's always something to be done in our homes, just like there is always something God wants to do in our hearts. And so that is what I'm going to be speaking about today before you. And the title of my message today is your pipeline clogged? I'll get to the meaning of what that means in a minute. Is your pipeline clogged? How to optimize spiritual efficiency? What? How to optimize our spiritual efficiency? Okay, the Bible talks a lot about our hearts. From the abundance of the heart, you guys are good. Create in me a clean heart. Not create in Jerry a clean heart. Listen, Jerry's got to worry about his own heart. He's got to worry about his own heart before God. I don't want to try to fix Jerry's heart. I got to worry about my own heart. Create about me a clean heart, oh God. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Did you know that our hearts think? Our hearts actually, science has, I could get real nerdy with you, but it'll take too long and it goes over my head and I don't really understand it fully. But our hearts have a brain. Our hearts have neurons, electrical signals that communicate with our brain. It's been shown that actually our hearts send more signals to our brain than our brain sends to our hearts. Which just goes to prove that the Bible is true. That God is concerned about our hearts. Yes, our thoughts have a effect on what our hearts feel. Yes, our thoughts have an effect on what we do, but it's not all about our thoughts. God is concerned first and foremost about our hearts, because that is where everything happens. That is where the pipeline begins. When Jesus comes into our heart and he transforms our heart, then and only then does our thinking change. Does our actions change? Does our motivations change? Do our feelings towards one another change? Before Jesus, you could not love. Think about who you could not love before Jesus. Like you absolutely could not love them before Jesus. But with Jesus, maybe you still couldn't love them wholeheartedly because God needed to change something in your heart. But still, with Jesus, you could love them a little or a lot. And so when we give our hearts to Jesus, that is what changes. It's not everything else that needs to change our hearts. It's Jesus changing our hearts, and that's where the pipeline comes from. It comes from him through our hearts and out our thoughts, out our words, out our hands. And so there's times when our hearts are not right with Jesus, because our hearts become a storage place for junk. Anybody got a storage place in your house that has junk? Don't we all? I hate junk. I hate storage places. I walk around my house saying all the time, I just want to burn it down and start all over again. There's too much stuff here. Not really. Just, you know, that's how I feel. And thank God I don't act on those feelings, because then that would be crazy. But our hearts become storage places for things like unforgiveness, doubt, fear, pride, sin. Sin. We could list the laundry list of sin. And sin clogs that pipeline. Sin, right, gets that pipeline clogged up. And so then what are the symptoms of that? When our pipeline is clogged, when our hearts become a storage place of sin, of things that don't please God, attitudes and ideas and assumptions and expectations and things that didn't come from God and aren't from Him, then we forget He's there. It's so easy to forget He's there, or we tend to do a lot of things trying to fix our own problem, realizing that it's only God that can fix our hearts, only Him, nobody but Him. And we burn out. We burn out trying. We forget He's there, and we burn out trying to fix our own hearts. So is your pipeline clogged? I have a picture of a dryer up there on that slide, and this is why. That is part of our dryer vent at our house. It was. It was. No longer is. Praise the Lord. Is your pipeline clogged? Because without an efficient working heart, we are not going to be spiritually efficient for the kingdom of God. So let me tell you here what happened. That was our dryer vent, and we dealt with a dryer that was not efficient in any way, shape, or form. I mean, I was actually going to bring a laundry basket full of clean laundry to show you, like, a visual example, but I forgot it. So imagine four towels. We're a family of four. Four towels plus two hand towels. Okay? Four towels and two hand towels would take at least 80 to 100 minutes to dry. At least. And that was on a good day. Like, if it was humid outside, or if I forgot about it and let it sit there for too long, then I'd have to wash them again or whatever. At least 80 to 100 minutes, if not longer. But I just dealt with it because I didn't think anything of it. We clean out. There's an inside vent part, the pipe that, or the hose that goes, you know, to, from the inside to the outside. That gets cleaned out every year. We clean out the vent, the pull-out vent from our dryer every single time we use it. We did all the right things. I just didn't think that anything was wrong. And that's kind of like our hearts, that spiritual efficiency, if we want something to run efficiently, spiritual efficiency is the ability to produce the maximum spiritual growth or impact or fruit with minimal wasted effort, emotion, or distraction from our divine purpose. And if you're in this room right now and you're saying, oh, the work of the Lord is so hard, it's so laborious, it's so, it is. That is true in some sense of the sentence. It is a little true. It's sort of true. But if you think about Jesus, if you think about his disciples, yes, their work was hard. Yes, their work was laborious because they did a lot of traveling, a lot of speaking, a lot of not knowing what was going to happen next. Sometimes that's hard for some of us, not knowing what's going to happen next. But the work of the Lord should not be a taxing thing on our hearts. The work of the Lord is only taxing and only draining of our hearts when we're not doing it with a clear pipeline from heaven to our hearts. Does that make sense? And so if we want to be spiritually efficient, right? If we want to be doing things the right way, with precision and focus, if we want to be doing things spiritually efficient, motivated, guided, and empowered by God's Spirit rather than our own human striving, then we need to do everything and say everything from a place that flows from our connection with God. It's like some of you might know this song, "Everything I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee." Everything we are, everything we ever hope to be, everything we ever want to see in others' lives, the hope that we have, If we want to see the kingdom come and his will be done, if we want to see true revival, then it starts in our hearts. Because that's the last verse of the hymn that I just sang before. Search me, O God. If you look at the last verse of that hymn, O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival. Start the work in me. That's where it starts. That's where it starts, and that's where it comes from. Not human effort, not human striving, but our hearts cleaned out before him. So, how do we unclog our spiritual pipeline? How do we do it? Forgive me, give me 1 second here. I like this coaster up here. I'm a sucker for things that have nice sayings. Today is a good day to have a great day. I might steal that. No, just kidding. Stealing is a sin. Okay, Lord, clean my heart. Clean my heart before you. Praise the Lord. The Lord knows. He knows. He knows. He knows how to, the Lord knows how to match the right people up with the right people. That is why I'm married to my husband of 21 years. And for I don't even know, a lot of those years, I doubted that the Lord matched me up with the right person. Sorry. Sorry it took me so long to realize. we're not perfect, are we? So what do we need to do to clear out our spiritual pipeline? What do we need to do to clean out our hearts? It's really simple, actually. But I believe the Holy Spirit gave me a tool to help. Maybe some of you remember this, these simple steps. Have you ever heard, if you're in the business world, of a program called ADP? ADP is a software that helps in the business world with streamlining processes, okay? Paychecks and human resources and scheduling, and ADP is a valuable tool in the business world. Well, if we want to optimize our spiritual efficiency and we want to streamline our spiritual lives to be the most effective we can for the kingdom of God, then we need to be operating with the spiritual ADP system. Aware, declare, and prayer. So, the first one is aware. The scripture that we read today says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and see. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Search me. Search me. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and make us aware of what he is aware of. Because God is all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He knows what's in our hearts that we don't even know what's in there. And if we want to be operating with spiritual efficiency, we need to humble ourselves. We need to calm ourselves before the presence of the Lord. And we need to allow him to search our hearts. Now, you may say, well, I don't have a lot of time to sit before the Lord. I don't have a lot of time. Well, guess what? It doesn't require a lot of time. Okay? Time is in God's hands, and God works everything out perfectly according to his perfect time. Can I tell you right now, my husband and I are always late to everything. Like everything. I'm not kidding you. And today we thought we were going to be late, didn't we? Because we had a certain time set that we wanted to leave. And we were running late. And then we got stuck behind this truck that was going really slow, like half the miles that the speed limit said. And we just said, you know what? We're going to minister. We're going to God's house. God's got it. We're going to leave the time in his hands. And don't you know that we parked in that parking spot a minute before we wanted to get here? It was a miracle. I'm testifying right now of a bona fide miracle. I'm telling you. I don't think in any of our 21 years of marriage and our 25 years of knowing one another that we've ever gotten anywhere on time, let alone early. And we were there a minute early. I was so excited because just those things that, anyway, whatever. Those things that matter to you that don't matter to anybody else. But we need to be made aware of the problem. And being made aware of a problem in our hearts is only going to come from the hand of God. It's only going to come from the awareness that the Holy Spirit brings us. But sometimes the Holy Spirit might use one another. And I'm not giving permission for you guys to go to one another and point out each other's faults. Please, hear me out. This is not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, I'm preaching to myself here because I don't ever preach and I'm not preaching to myself. What I'm saying is, if somebody comes up to you with a constructive word of criticism, don't automatically push it away. Don't automatically discredit it. Don't let it get into your heart either and get you all angry and bitter. Don't close your ears and don't completely open your heart. Somewhere in the middle. Just kind of like take it with a grain of salt and just say, Holy Spirit, if this is something that you want me to know, then you'll let me know. That's all. That's all. And so we need to be made aware of the problem. Now, I was aware of our dryer situation for years. For years, I was running. Okay, start the dryer again. Okay, start the dryer again. Okay, start the dryer again. Did you remember to start the dryer again? Did you start the dryer again? Did you start the dryer again? Is the dryer, are the clothes dry? Are they dry? Are they dry? Oh my goodness. So annoying and so inefficient. Completely. I knew there was a problem. I knew it. But I never made the person who could fix the problem aware that there was a problem. Now, you would think, oh, good. She called a repair person and they're good to go. And am I doing good on time here? Okay. Huh? Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure because my husband always says, shorten it up. You could tell too many details. Sorry, I'm trying, honey. I'm trying. I take that as constructive criticism. So I didn't call the person that could fix it. Well, the person that could fix it is my husband because he does appliance repair as his job. But I'm a shoemaker's daughter, you know, like he's my husband's a appliance repair guy, but I never have, no, I have appliances that work. I do, all of them work and they work awesome. And he's fixed them so many times, it's awesome. But I just didn't think it was a problem because he didn't think it was a problem and he's the one who could fix it. But there was one day where I just got so frustrated and I said, Joe, the dryer doesn't work. I'm tired of having to run it over and over and over again. So I pointed out the problem. I declared it. I declared, this is a problem. This is not normal. I should not have a dryer that has to run 80 to 100 minutes to dry four towels. And of course, him as an appliance repairman and not having had to operate the dryer primarily, only occasionally, you know, at the time, really didn't think it was a big deal. It's an older dryer. He's fixed all the things he could fix on it that he thought of, this, that, the other thing. So I was declaring that there was a problem, and the one who I thought could fix it just thought it was fine. And so then I thought it was fine, and so I ignored it. But see, that's a lesson to all of us that when we have an issue in our hearts, stop bringing it to our friends. Stop bringing it to somebody who we think we trust. Stop bringing it to somebody who we think can fix it, who has maybe even fixed that problem in our hearts, you know, in the past. Even a pastor cannot always fix our hearts the way that God can. We need to take it to the only person that can fix our hearts. You wouldn't go to a brain surgeon to operate on your heart, would you? Or an orthopedic to give you open heart surgery. So when you need work on your heart, when the Holy Spirit's showing something in you, some wicked way in you that he wants to cleanse and unclog, you need to go to God and say, God, who do you want me to talk to help me with this? If anybody, Who do you want me to hear from, if anybody, to help me with this? What does your word say? And declare that it's a problem. Point it out. If anything, Lord, offends me, point it out. Point it out. Show me. Tell me. So we need to become aware. A, we need to declare it as a problem. D, and last but not least, the most important thing, we need to bring it before the Lord in prayer. Now, when my dryer wasn't operating with efficiency, and when my husband, who's an appliance repairman, didn't think it was a problem, even though I declared it, I brought my problem to the Lord. And I declared before the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm so sick of this, and he doesn't really see anything wrong with it, but there's got to be something wrong with it. There's got to be something wrong. I should not be dealing with this. And I try to not say things this way very often because I really need to be careful that I'm saying it with respect and honor to the Lord. But I truly believe the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart. Tell him. Tell him that I told you it needs to be fixed. So I went to him and I said, the Lord told me this needs to be fixed. And this is what's going to happen if you don't fix it. And he's going, that better be from God if you're saying it like that to me. It was. God, this better be from you if it's from you. I know it'll be from you if it's fixed. Well, I come home from the office that day. He comes home from work. He walks to our driveway, and he's carrying the parts. And he fixes it. And I said, thank you, Jesus. This is a miracle. And he says to me, you know what? We had our driveway repaved not that long ago, and that's a whole nother testimony, a miracle story I can tell you for another day. But because of that miracle, because of the Lord providing for us a driveway that we needed desperately for many, many years, it paved the way for my husband to be able to walk back to where our dryer vent comes on the outside and notice, oh man, there's a significant clog there. I need to bring home the stuff from work and fix that. So the Lord had already made him aware. He just forgot to declare it to me that, like, hey, I already know this is a problem. I'm not going to fix it. But through prayer and through me following the guiding of the leading of the Holy Spirit saying, all right, hun, you got to fix this. The Lord told me you got to fix this or else. Miraculously, that same day it got fixed. And our dryer can dry 4 towels in 40 minutes now. 40 minutes. It's a miracle. Every time I run the dryer, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing what he can do. It's amazing how he's concerned about the littlest things if we just put them in his hands. About our feelings, about our hurts, about our faults, about our emotions, about the things, the wounds that we've carried and we thought we let go, the things that we thought he healed long ago, but we realize that maybe someone opened up a scar or a wound. Maybe someone re-hurt us. Maybe we've re-hurt or hurt somebody else because of our own unhealed hearts. But if we submit it before the Lord, in prayer, not just declaring a problem. Lord, this is the problem. Like we were declaring the problems in prayer today, weren't we? As all of you said what you wanted prayer over, and you were declaring the problem. The Lord has made you aware of a problem in your life or the lives of your loved ones, and you were declaring that that was a problem. And God bless Greg, he brought that before the Lord in prayer. He laid those things so beautifully before the throne of God. But it doesn't stop there. It does not stop there. And I want to encourage each and every one of you today, if you have time, if you have a few minutes in this sanctuary before you leave today, don't just talk to God. Because there's a reason why God just gave us one mouth, but 2 ears, and 2 eyes, and 2 hands, and 2 nostrils. He gave us 2 of every other sense, but he only gave us 1 mouth. He wants us to listen twice as hard as we speak, twice as much, to his word spoken, to his word sung over us, like many of the old hymns and choruses. Those are his word. to the word preached to us and delivered to us, he wants us to listen. He wants us to see. God sometimes speaks to us through things that we can see, through the actions of others, through the example of others. That the Holy Spirit is showing us somebody that, hey, look at what they're doing that I'm pleased with. Look what they're doing that you like what they're doing, the way they're serving me. Maybe that's what the Lord wants you to do or how he wants you to act. Maybe simply the Lord is calling you to just use what you have in your hands to serve someone else. And as you serve someone else, as you give of your time, as you give of your talents, he will speak to you and work on your heart in a way he couldn't otherwise. And perhaps he just wants you to sit here for a few minutes and pray the most basic form of prayer. Because he gave us a nose to breathe, and he put breath in our lungs. The name Yahweh is actually mimicking Yahweh, our breath. Yahweh. Every time we breathe in, every time we exhale, it's a prayer before the Lord. We're praying his name. Every time we breathe in, every time we exhale, you know what that does biologically? It actually regulates our heart. It actually calms our physical heart. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. So I encourage you this week, apply the ADP, spiritual efficiency system, to your hearts and watch what God can do. Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you for this time that we can have together, Lord, with fellowship and family. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have together dwelling upon your word and how to apply it to our lives. God, I ask that, as we leave today, you would remind us, as the song says, to be aware of what you want us to do, and as the song says, that we would, as we become aware of our hearts, that we would lay it on the altar. I am now on the altar. I am now on the altar. I am now on the altar, which was made for me. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. And he sets me free. Now let's declare, I will never doubt my Savior. I will never doubt my Savior. I will never doubt my Savior. For he sets me free. If you need to just declare that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, come see me, come see one of the elders to pray for you, with you. If there's a problem that you need to declare before the Lord, I encourage you to do that today, but let's close in prayer as we rest on his promise. We're not going to sing that. Just rest on his promises to you. Greg said it earlier that he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up our wounds. He heals us. By his stripes, you are healed. We are healed. Can we just praise him all together? I will shout hallelujah. I will shout hallelujah. I will shout hallelujah. For he sets me free. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. And he sets me free. Amen. Amen. If you're here and you desire prayer, I'm available. I know Greg said he would assist in that, and any of the other elders, come see us. We'd be more than willing to pray with you and anoint with oil. And God bless. Go with God, and don't forget to apply awareness, declare the problem, and bring it to him in prayer. Watch what he can do. Amen.